God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful, and He is good. And He loves us. Amen. Praise God. He loves us. Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans 10, 17 before we get going. We've been talking about how faith comes. That's been a series for a while, and you know, as we do that, it's just on faith and general faith and healing. That's what we emphasize on Wednesday nights. And you can never get too full of God's Word. You cannot get too full of faith. We need to feed our faith continually, and that's one of the reasons I believe that we do this in midweek, because your faith needs to be strong in order to tackle life. Because life will drain you, it will sap you of your strength. And we need to be strong. Faith will work in every area. We need to know how it works so that we can exercise it. Like we talked about exercising earlier, we need to know what the principles are. And so as we've gotten into this, we're emphasizing how faith comes, but you get into the other aspects, you know, some of the aspects of faith, but that's what we're emphasizing. Faith and healing are just important. They're not the only subjects. We cover a number of subjects on Sunday mornings, but the focus of these services is to focus on those. And if you're strong in faith, then you can exercise it in any area. If you know what faith is and how to get it, then you can see if your faith is weak in a certain area, you can get it stronger. Because you understand faith, just because you have faith strong in one area does not mean you're strong in every area. Some people say, you know, I'm strong. I have strong faith. And what they mean is, I believe in God. Well, they may believe in God, but they may have zero faith for healing. They may have zero faith for finances. There are people that are really strong on healing, but they don't believe that God will supply their needs. They don't believe that God wants them to have anything. Why is that? Because their understanding has not been enlightened in that area, and they don't know God's word in that area. Well, what's the remedy to know God's word in that area? Listen to what God says in any area that you are struggling in or have a challenge in, you need to hear the scripture on those areas, on that area. That's how your faith is going to come. Now you have an opportunity to act on that faith or not. But that's God's word, and acting on His word and letting the Spirit of God flow with you, that's the solution for any issue that we face in this life. Because God will not be defeated. So if we're hooked up with Him and we believe what He says He'll do in every area, then He's not going to lose, like what we've been talking about on Sundays. So what's the key is understanding what He said. We need to understand what He said. If you're ignorant of what He said in a certain area, well, you can't believe it then. If you can't believe it, you're not going to act on it. And even though something belongs to you, you won't have it in this life. Because it's not all up to God. Let's read Romans 10. Let's start with verse 13. It says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" So verse 14 says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" Well, here he's talking about salvation. He says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, whoever calls on the name of the Lord in any area will have what God has promised in that area. But these rest of these scriptures apply to every area. It says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" Well, how are you going to call on Him in finances if you don't believe anything about finances? If you don't believe He wants you to have all your needs met and more. You know, I heard somebody just saying recently, money is ability. It's not the only ability, but if you have finances to do things, you can influence this world. Money's not evil. Are you kidding me? Money, you know, I don't have my wallet on me, but if you took out a dollar bill, it's not evil and it's not good. It does whatever it's, whoever spends it, it's going to be good or bad based on how it is exchanged. Well, that means if you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of good. You can also do a lot of bad. And that's what a lot of people are using their money to do evil things, but there are a lot of people using their money to do good things. So, you can just see that this idea that somehow the church is to be poor is straight from the devil, because who would want the church not to be able to do what it needs to do? It's not godly, but people have that in their head because the church, religion has taught people that to be godly, if you truly are a godly person, you won't want anything in this world and you'll just be poor. Well, then, I mean, you can't do much good. Sure, you can go tell people and do stuff, but you can get a lot done with influence and finances to do it. Well, so what we're saying is, if you don't believe that, you're not going to call on God to believe for your needs to be met and for you to be able to do more. If you have all you need, believe God that you can have more so you can do more for somebody else. If you don't believe, I mean, there's no way you're going to call on God's name to be healed if you haven't believed that word. And if you haven't heard that word, that's what he's saying here. It's the same in every area. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But how shall they believe if you haven't heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? He's saying, you can't believe God. You can't believe God for anything. You're not going to call unless you believed. You're not going to believe unless you've heard, and you're not going to hear unless you have something to declare or preach it to you, which is somebody else or a message or coming to church or, you know, somebody to preach just means to declare. So in other words, we are not going to be able to act and believe unless we first heard. Because believing, what are you believing? You're believing what God said. You don't just make up stuff to believe. It's based on what God said. Look, skip down to verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. That's how faith comes. That's how Bible faith comes, is by hearing what God said in an area. You're not going to be able to believe. See, faith comes by hearing, and believing is just acting in faith. If you believe, you have faith. But faith comes by the Word of God, biblical faith, because as you hear it, faith is going to come, but then you have the decision, you have the potential to act on that, but you can't believe something you haven't heard. Not about God. You have to hear what he said. Thank God. So people are confused about them. I'm just going to go with this and spend just a minute here. People are confused because people that have been around what we've called the Word and Faith movement, which isn't an area of the body of Christ or anything. It's just people that have been around and heard this emphasis that the Holy Spirit emphasized. It's always been there in the Word. It's nothing new. It's just is emphasized by the Holy Spirit and restored, just like healing was restored, just like the moving of the Holy Spirit was restored in the early 1900s, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that had waned. You realize we lost, or not lost, but stuff waned a lot, like in the Dark Ages. People didn't know. The light had gone out. And when you have the church, you know, having services in Latin, and only a few people that have access to the Scriptures. So the truth of God's Word started to flicker. It's always been there. But how did people start believing again? They got a hold of what the Bible said. What God said. You know, Martin Luther, wait a minute, it's by faith that we're saved. It's not by works. How did that come? He was reading the Bible and he said, wait a minute, God said this. so he could act on it. Now he can say, wait a minute, all this other stuff is junk. It's wrong. It's religion. God said it's by faith, not by all the junk that had gotten into the church at that point, because it had been, you know, intertwined with the world and the worldly government and a lot of junk that we're still dealing with today. As in the so-called, you know, certain denominations, there are born-again people in those areas, but the truth has been hidden. Why? By all this religion and this junk and the mixing of just heathenism and everything. But the truth is in there. It's just it's covered up. Now, you can go into some of these services, you hear the word preached, but it's like nobody gets it. There's a veil. It's dark. Nobody's calling on it. It's just a religious service. Go in and go out. Do my duty. When can I check it off? Let's see. If I get in on Saturday, that means I can sleep in all day Sunday. All right. We're going to that service. It's a duty. It's a check mark. It's not, we're here to worship God and I want to hear what he says. It's blind. There are blinders. Why? Because the word of God has been veiled by all this other stuff. It's there, but it's barely, it's like, you know, you got a light, but it's just all covered up. Benin services, you know, certain denomination. I grew up till I was six. We were Catholic. My parents were born and raised Catholic. And, you know, I was in that church. My parents got born again and left during the charismatic movement. I tell you what, I mean, I've been to different services going back, and I'm just like, wow, they're reading that. It's a scripture, but you look around, there's nothing. It's dead. I mean, you're reading the Word of God, but there's nothing. People aren't. It's like, do you understand what you're reading? But the Word of God, when it's emphasized and understood, we can act on it. But it's the Word. That's how faith comes. If we don't preach the Word, faith isn't going to come. It's not people's opinion. It's not philosophy. It's not, ideas. They're not talks. You know, get a real sharp, bulleted talk. We can all get encouraged, quote unquote, and then go home and not be changed at all because the Word's what's going to change us. I'm not saying you can't get certain ideas and get certain truth, getting certain understanding and things, but the Word of God's what's going to change us. It is alive and eternal and sharp and powerful. And any real truth, any real help you ever get, if you trace it back, it's going to go back to the Word of God. Even if they're not preaching the Word, if it's based on the Word, if you ever got any real help, it's because it actually is truth. There is no truth apart from God. Well, you think God missed something? Somebody invented something, you know, in the 2000s that he missed. They have a new philosophy. No, if you look at it, if it's really helping people in a real way, you can trace it back, and it is based on Scripture. Now, we have not digressed because we're talking about faith and how it comes. And it comes by the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God, not by other stuff. It doesn't come by people's ideas. People say, oh, that's so good. Here's how you can tell if it's the Word or not. Even if there's Scripture coming out, that doesn't mean it's the Word. Because you know you can put Scripture together in wrong ways, and now it's not truth. Did you hear me? Just because you hear Scripture taught does not mean it's the truth. We have to rightly divide the Word of God. You don't just slap Scriptures together. You can make the Bible say almost anything you want it to say. And some people are just listen and say, well, they're saying Scriptures, so that must be right. After all, they studied. Do not do that. Do not say, well, I don't really get it, but okay, you might, and well, you look like you have it together. I heard your testimony, so it must be right. That is going by that man's word instead of by the Word of God. We have to look at the Word of God and rightly divide it. You hear the Word, every Christian, if you're truly born again, has a Spirit of God on the inside of you. And you can tell, if you'll listen, if something is bearing witness with the Spirit on the inside of you, whether it's true or not, whether your head gets it or not. You could be saying, you know, you don't understand all the ins and outs, but you're hearing the word, and if you check on the inside, your inside is doing flip-flops. And right, like, that's right, I don't understand everything about it, but it's right. On the other hand, you could hear a bunch of scripture and be like, that doesn't seem good on the inside. Now, I'm not talking about flesh, I'm not talking about offense, because people can get offended and be like, I don't like you, and I don't care what you say, it's not right. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about truly the Spirit of God. You could be born again for a week, and on the inside, you have that witness, and you can tell, if you'll be sensitive, if something is of God and it's truth or it's wrong. And here's how, one way to tell, I've experienced this and I didn't get it for a while. You would hear something, somebody preaching something, and you're trying to follow it, almost put it together with your head, like, okay, I don't really get that, but okay. And then you're trying to piece it together, but it's not really bearing witness, it seems muddled. And then afterwards, you're trying to believe basically what that person said instead of the word. It's like, okay, you said this scripture means this, and in history, this is what they used to wear, which symbolized this, and, you know, this number means that. Okay, so then that scripture goes over here because this guy said it in this day of the week that this would be right, and so that means that this would happen in my life. Okay, let me put all this together, and then I'll believe it. If you're trying to do that, just toss it out, because God's word is not that complicated. You're trying to believe somebody's piecing together of Scripture instead of, you know what we ought to be able to see? The Scripture says this. Now, here's another Scripture that says that. And there's another Scripture, and they're helping one another and getting put together. And now I have something to believe. Why? Because I see that God's Word says that, and now faith is there. Now I need to act on it. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to say, well, Joe Schmo said this and that, and so I believe this. I believe this teaching. You can say, the Bible says it. Let me show you. And, you know, I'm not saying you just are always right there every time that you get up. You might have to look over some scriptures. But you can see, yes, it says that, and A, B, and C. And you ought to be able to tell your friend that this is what it says and not have to go, well, wait a minute, what was that missing link and what did they used to do? I'm not saying there's nothing that all the context in history isn't worth anything. I mean, some of that can help, but if you're trying to base your faith on some context to understand it, you've gone too far. The Bible is self-explanatory. If you listen to the Word, you'll say God said that. If you have to have 15 different things to try to help you understand one passage of Scripture, you're believing something that isn't the Bible. It's somebody's teaching. And it's not much different than a normal philosophy. They're just using Bible scriptures to try to support theirs. But if you took those out, the thing doesn't actually mean anything, and it's not truth. Don't know why we're getting off on this, but here we are. Because we're talking about how faith comes. You can't have faith when you can't follow it with your heart. You can't have faith. You can't go back to what somebody said about the Bible. You got to know the Bible. Because faith in God is faith in what He said, not what somebody said about what He said. And there are a lot of people that have listened to messages and over, and they think they know the Word because you know what they do? Because I used to do this. You hear it and you think, yeah, I mean, they're supporting it with Scripture, but I really want to hear what they're saying. You remember what they said, but you don't necessarily can put the Scripture together because you assume they studied and it's all right. That won't get you very far. You need to, the gifts, the ministry gifts, are there to help you understand what the Word says, not to be a replacement for the Word. So you hear the Word. you hear somebody talk about the word, we need to know, go back to what the Bible said and say, okay, if it's done right, it's expounding on what the word says to help us understand what is already there. Oh, I see that. And that verse supports that. And that verse supports that. All the ministry, like the teaching ministry, is there as a scaffolding to help you understand the word. It's not anything, there's nothing to understand in and of itself. It's there to bring the word to light. Every ministry gift will exalt Jesus. Won't exalt a person. Won't exalt some other teaching or doctrine. It'll exalt the word of God and Jesus as he's revealed. And if you find yourself trying real hard to figure out what the person's saying and trying real hard to believe, I'd say you're trying to believe something that's not truth. I'm not saying it doesn't have truth in it. And I'm not saying it's an outright lie, and I'm not talking about that people are trying to misrepresent. I'm saying people can have all kinds of good intentions and be wrong. And here's the bottom line. Trying to believe somebody's opinion is not going to help you in the fight of life. It will not. You in your bedroom, when you have a fight going on, trying to quote somebody you heard on the radio will not help you. Because that's not faith. That's not Bible faith. Bible faith is quoting the word that they said. They may have quoted something. They may have taught something. But you get to the word and say, and that's what you say. That's what you stand on. Because that's the only thing that's going to fly is the word of God. That's faith is based on the word of God. Nothing else. Not your feelings. Not your circumstance. Not what somebody said. It has to come back to what he said. Because who are you believing for your answer? The guy you heard on the radio or him? Then you need to know what he said. And we need to take enough time to know what he said. Well, I want the Cliff Notes version. I just want to hear, tell me what he said and I'll believe that. That won't work. And we're all guilty of it. Just tell me. I mean, really, when I used to, I hate to admit it. But maybe it'll help you, so I'll say it. When I would look at Brother Hagin's books, I would read the stuff, but I'd be going for the next thing he was saying about the scriptures that were in bold black, because it's like I already know that scripture, and so, he's using this, and I'd go to the next part. When the whole reason the other words are there is to point you to the truth of the scripture and to read the scripture, you might think you know what it says, but unless you read it, the Holy Spirit can come back and quicken it. Unless you read it, you may miss something. It's the word. It's not all the text around the word. That's all to bring light to the word. You know, it's like you have a bunch of lights that are illuminating something, you know, that's supposed to be outstanding, and you're focusing on all the periphery that's supposed to bring, make the thing that's being illuminated, the thing that's supposed to be seen. But you're looking at all the other stuff. You know, it's like looking at all the garnish and being excited about the garnish in your food instead of being excited about the main course. No, God's word is the truth. That is what we need to focus. That's what we should be getting excited about. Because that's what's going to change our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot believe if you haven't heard. I'm going to say that again. You cannot believe unless you have heard. And we're talking about God's word. You have to have heard what he said in order to act on it. And a lot of people are making stuff up. Now, we have not digressed. We're just focusing on part of it because faith comes by hearing, and we're talking about how faith comes. You can't have faith unless you've heard the word. And this is news to somebody. At least one or more somebody's in it, because we're emphasizing this. This is different. But you can't have, some people are trying to have faith. I'm just believing for something, and you don't have the word on it. You think you do, but you're actually believing what somebody said, or you got some idea and you say, I'm going to believe for such and such, and you pulled it out of the air because somebody else did it, or because you thought it was a good idea. You heard somebody's testimony. You heard somebody preach about it, but it is not what God told you, either in His Word or by the Spirit. And if you pull it out like that and try to believe it, it will not work for you because your faith has to be on His Word. Amen. I've used this example before. Now, since I've used it before, and some of you have heard it, and I'll use it again. But just don't say anything if you know the answer. Okay? Just think it. Nobody say anything. Not trying to embarrass anyone. Okay? So everybody, you don't have to try to. This is not a time to answer. Just think about it, what you would say. But if I pulled out a $100 bill right now and say, I want to bless somebody with it tonight. I want to give this to somebody. Let me ask you a question and don't answer it out loud. Could you have faith to believe that I would give it to you? Just look straight ahead and shake your head up, down, sideways. Just think about it and be honest with yourself. If I said, I pulled out a $100 bill and said, I want to give this to somebody tonight, could you have faith that I would give it to you? Think about it. The answer is no. You could not have faith that I would give it to you. Now, if that seems wrong, then keep listening. But this is where a lot of people miss it. Because they say they're trying to believe for something, but they're not actually on solid ground. Let me ask you a question. Did I tell you I would give you a $100 bill? What did I say? I will give somebody. People say, I believe I'm that somebody. Based on what? Based on, well, I just want to believe I need it. You need it? Did I tell you that I would give it to someone who needs it? And if I'm only going to have one, and what if two people need it? Would I really need it? So I'm just going to believe hard. That's not faith. Did you hear me? That is not faith. And a lot of people that have heard faith are trying to do this. They say, I'm going to believe for such and such. I've heard people, and if you've done this, just look straight ahead. I'm not getting on your case. But you know, there'll be a contest or something, and they say, I'm going to believe that I'm going to win that contest. A drawing. I'm just going to believe God. We're going to pray about it that we'll win. Let me ask you a question. Based on what? How can you have Bible faith? Did God tell you, I will let you win that supposedly random drawing? Well, no, I just believe because I need it. I believe. You believe what? Because you can't believe. How does faith come? See, we haven't digressed. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. But I just believe. I am going to ask God. We're going to name it. We're going to claim it. We're going to say, God, I have it. We're going to make the mountain move. Based on what? I want it. I believe it. I mean, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe harder than anybody else. That's not faith. You cannot believe. You cannot have Bible faith for that, and you can't have faith in God for that. And when I say I will give someone a $100 bill, you cannot have faith for that. Now, if I did this, I came in with my bag and pulled out, you know, a whole container of $100 bills. And I said, God has been so good to me. I have a bunch of, you know, I have a bunch of $100 bills here. you know, many, many. Whoever wants one of these $100 bills, if you come up to the front after the service, I'll give you one. Now, let me ask you a question. Could you have faith that I would give you a $100 bill? Could you? Could you have faith? We're not talking about God faith. Could you have faith? Could you believe that I would give you a $100 bill? Why? Because I said whoever comes to me after the service and asks for, I'm going to give you a $100 bill. So what, if you came up, if my word is any good, you say, I have a $100 bill coming. If I said, what, based on what? You said, whoever comes up to you after the service and asks, you'll give them one. So give me my $100 bill. Now, what are you basing that on? What I said. Do you see the difference? There are a whole lot of people that say they have faith, but faith, they say they have faith in God. They say they have faith for certain things. Man, we went through all kinds of stuff in the last several decades before, you know, 80s, 90s. People claiming stuff, claiming certain cars, claiming houses, and God did not speak it to them. Now, there are two ways God can speak something to you, either through His Word directly in a general sense, or He can speak something to your heart directly by His Spirit that He'll give you something, and that's how you're going to believe Him. And people did not get either one, and they just pulled something out of the air and said, I'm going to believe for this. And God did not tell them, and they fell on their face. And then they say the faith stuff does not work. Well, you weren't in faith. You were never in faith. You made that up. Now, how you get in there, if it's in the Word, see, are there places in the Word that said, whosoever? We just read one. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, whoever. Are you a whoever? And if you call on the name of the Lord, then what's coming next? You will be saved. There are other places that talk about the same thing. Use whoever, whosoever. And then there are scriptures that are promised to us as children of God based on what Jesus did. That's where we need to get to. By His stripes you were healed. That's written to the church. That's a letter to the church. You need to know what belongs to you. So we can believe if we hear the word. There are places that have whosoever. And then there is God speaking to your heart. Now this is another thing. We're not going to get into that. But God can speak to you. And this is where you need to be able to discern what He's saying. He can drop something into your heart to believe for. But you need to have that. You need to know from Him. Because you can't have faith. How does faith come? Hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of the Lord can come to you. Over and over in the Bible it says, the Word of the Lord came to me, saying. Well, it can be an impression. We talked about that on Sunday several weeks ago, that in Romans 8, you know, 14 through 16, it says that that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Well, the same way He does that is the same way a lot of times He'll bear witness with something to you about what you need to believe for. Because He's prompted it to you. If He speaks to you, believe for this. Believe for this car. Believe for this job. Believe for this amount of money. And that drops into your heart and you believe it. You say, how are you going to know it's Him? Over time, you get to know it's Him by acting on it. And you know what? You get to hear Him better by acting and listening. And you know what? Just like when you learn how to drive a car, you may drive up on the curb a few times. Does this mean you just say, forget driving a car? No. When you learn how to ride a bike, you probably fell down. But you got back up. Well, when you're learning how to believe God, I mean, flow, be led by the Spirit of God, just because you say, well, I believe this is God, and you miss it, you get back up. Over time, you start to understand that's his voice. That's what I'm hearing. I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice. I'm saying either you have a witness bearing witness with you. This is the right one. When we came to Andover, we had a word, but before that, it was, you know, and saw some things. But also, the final thing was, it seemed good when we came here. It seemed good here, not the neighboring towns. It was here. Inside. I'm not talking about in your stomach, but in your heart. And the best way you've heard me say this, if you've been here, a direction from God, a leading from God, it will feel warm, fuzzy. I'm not talking about a physical feeling, but it's smooth. If it's wrong, scratchy. If it's just neutral, wait till you get the peace, the right direction, that it just seems good. It's just, you think about it, yeah. Well, God can speak to you that way. You don't need to hear, thus says the Lord. You don't need to hear, even a still small voice on the inside. You can. Don't look for voices. Don't try to hear voices. The enemy will accommodate you, but you can hear the voice of God. But God can speak to you. You think of taking this job, it's like, nah. You think of taking this job, it bears witness. How are we doing? We're good. Almost there. You think of taking this one, it's like, no. You think of taking this one, it's yes, yes. Sit on it. I remember when I was looking for a job ended up working at my current position, but I was starting to look and apply, and there was this one place. I got a family of four to feed. The contract and this other place ended, and they were having tough times, and I was a contractor, and so I wasn't working for them anymore. And this is 6.5 years ago, and I needed to find a job, and that could be pressure. And I was online and, looking at all the sites, and I saw this job, and I mean, I look at it and it lined up with my qualifications and stuff. But even on the inside, I was like, I shouldn't apply to that. But my head was, you have to apply to these things. But there was other ones. I mean, it's not that I wasn't applying. It was just this one. Like, don't apply to that. Yeah. And it was a yuck. But I was like, I'm at this point, I'm not trying, I don't want to just rule out stuff because I need a job. And so I went ahead and applied for that and went on. And then some of the places that I had applied then, I went one time, it was a Saturday or something. I went down with Shelly and we just drove to them. This is some of the different places, drove into the parking lot and stuff. And I remember I drove past this place. It was one of the worst feelings I have ever had. It was so like, oh my gosh, get out of this place. And I told Shell I should not have applied for that place. It's just, I don't have to do anything about it, but this is, oh my gosh. I went into that parking lot and it was one of the worst feelings spiritually I have ever had in that parking lot. It was like gross. And I said that I shouldn't have applied. Well, I'm still interviewing. I mean, I haven't even interviewed. I think I can't remember if this time I had interviewed, because there was a couple places I interviewed, and the same day got rejections from both of them. That was a day to walk through some stuff. And but I can't remember the timing of this. But they called me. This company that I said I shouldn't apply to, they called me. And when they called me, the lady said, we'd like to schedule a phone interview for you. And I said, no, I'm not interested anymore. She goes, well, do you have another job? I said, no, I'm not. I'm just not interested. And she probably thought, I'm off my rocker. You don't have a job, but you just, well, okay. And she said, well, okay, thanks. But I'm telling you, I was not going to override that. I was not going to override that because I don't know. I'm convinced I could have maybe gotten that job and then I would have been in hurt. I could have been in a bad place. I will also tell you, When I had the job, when I was looking and I came across this position that I ultimately got, I saw it, and when I put in that application, I sensed a peace that I just like that other one was so bad, I had a peace like I have had very few times in my life. I went to the library to read because I go out like once a week to get out of the house so that, you know, it's just good to get away. And at that point, I was working at home and I was looking for a job, and Shelly just kicked me out. She's like, I don't care if you feel like it or not. You're getting out. I'm serious, hasn't she? You know, you're going out tonight. And anyway, I don't remember. She didn't do that this time. But that night at the library, I'm right, and I would just go and I'd read. And I'm telling you, I was sitting, I can show you where I was in the library. There was such a peace that I couldn't have been. I remember that I had said, I had like, there was something on my cover letter that I put with it that I think I hadn't misspelled it, but like I put I like divided it when I shouldn't have, or like it was like dash something instead of just leaving a space. And I was like, oh man, I did that. Which now I know, I've looked at so many resumes, you don't care about much of that. But at that point I was thinking about, I couldn't get upset if I wanted to. It was such a peace that I just like few I've experienced. It was so peaceful. It was just like if anything happened. I mean, I told Shelly, I said, this is peace like I have not seen. I said, I believe there's something there, but you know, you don't have any proof. But I just said, man, this, I couldn't get upset if I wanted to get upset right now. Nothing would bother me. It was like a blanket. Next day they called me. And it caught me off guard. The first person, you know, called me. Then within, I don't know if it was the next day, the other recruiter called me and then said, I'm going to schedule the on-site interview. And then that's the job I had, and I've had it. I mean, and I've, you know, been at the same company that whole time and gone through different things. It's been a blessing. But you need to get it on the inside. If God tells you, either it's in His Word or it's in, He said something to you. Now you can believe something. I can tell you some other stories. I'm not going to go into some things. But you need to get it from Him. But you need to walk in faith with something. You need to hear something from Him. Now you can stand. Now you can believe. And then you know what? You stay. Just a side note. You stay. If God leads you into something, you don't lead you out. You don't decide you're offended. You don't decide you don't like somebody, so you're going to leave. That's a way to get out of the will of God. And if God led you into something, who are you to take you out? If He is your Lord and you listen to Him and you go, then who said it's time to leave? Who's going to tell you? If you're listening to Him and He is your Lord, He tells you to go in, who's supposed to tell you to leave? Him. Well, I don't like so-and-so. What does that have to do with it? This is just a side thought. That's all I'm going to say about it. Amen. We're talking about how faith comes. You need to act on what He said. Because it's solid. You pull something out, that will wane. I don't care if you have goosebumps. I don't care if you thought it was great. It will wane, and you will not stand, because you don't have anything to stand on. Because it's His Word. It's His Word. I said it's His Word that we're going to stand. We have faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of the Almighty. And His Word's good. It will not fail you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a little bit different. But I believe we were in the right direction. Hallelujah.